So we left off yesterday, we were discussing what seems to be almost a double contradiction between the words of Rabbi Shmuel against the words of Rabbi Shmuel and the words of Rabbi Shimon Yochai against the words of Rabbi Shimon Yochai in terms of how do we view the role of work of omnes, the person providing for parnasa in light of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So on the one hand, we had a Gemara in Maseches Brachos, where the Gemara quoted Machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Yochai, whether we're taking a positive spin or a negative spin on the pasuk of Yasafta de Ganecha. So Rabbi Shmuel was the one who coined the phrase that that it's okay, that it's a good thing, it's a positive thing, Yasafta de Ganecha. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said Yasafta de Ganecha is a bad thing. It's a nebuch thing. It's for a person who's not quite osir etzol shemochem to the fullest sense, he's going to have to be Yasafta de Ganecha. But in terms of the optimal goal, so the opposite is true. So that, based on that sugya Maseches Brachos, it sounds like, I guess we call Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is the biggest machvir in the midst of Talmud Torah, and Rabbi Shmuel is in a sense the mekel in Talmud Torah. Yet when it comes to the Gemara in Maseches Menachos, when the Gemara talks about learning possibly other chokhmos, not necessarily in the context of professional, just stop learning other chokhmos, or pursuing other wisdoms, so there Rabbi Shmuel is the biggest mach, and Rabbi Shmuel says, if you find the time between the day and night, then it's okay, obviously implying that it's not a good thing. Whereas Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai seems to be the biggest lenient opinion, because he says, you can be yotzei with Kriya Shma, you can be yotzei with a little bit of learning, one little night, you have a lot of free time during the day. So how do you resolve that double contradiction? So we pointed out that the apparent contradiction with the Rabbi Shmuel was almost easier to solve than the other one. Because what Rabbi Shmuel said is that the starting point is Talmud Torah all the time, 24/7. That's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Le'yomer sefer Torah mizvah picha, v'gisim yom v'laylas, kipshuto. But even according to the understanding that it's kipshuto, you have to learn 24/7. Nobody could really say that. You have to eat, you have to sleep, you have to mitzvah, you have daven. So obviously the things are going to chisel away at that. So clearly Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is that whatever is a justified break from Talmud Torah is okay. That's perfectly right. That's not a bitul Torah. It's not like when I daven, so davening is doicha Talmud Torah. When I eat, eating is doicha Talmud Torah. No, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is whatever you have time that's available to learn. That's a lot of time. Whenever you have time that's available to learn, then one is supposed to be trying to learn. So Rabbi Shmuel understood that pursuing a parnasa is a legitimate tzarech. It's as legitimate as eating and sleeping. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, we understand that to pursue a parnasa, that's v'safta d'ganecha. To pursue other wisdoms, other knowledges, just for no apparent reason, so Rabbi Shmuel felt that was not a justified pursuit, and therefore one becomes bound in the midst of Talmud Torah. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was much more difficult, because Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, he's looking down at v'safta d'ganecha, and yet he's the one who said that, well, there is no mitzvah of 24/7. The mitzvah is a little by day, a little by night. So how do you understand that? So we had two approaches yesterday. One was to say that there were actually two different Rabbi Shimons. Some Rishonim had the gears of Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadok. Again, if you have that gears, then there was never a question in the first place. And we left off yesterday with a fascinating insight that's quoted in the Sefer Techemet by some Achronim, who say that Rabbi Shimon Yochai actually changed his mind. And in the early days, Rabbi Shimon Yochai insisted on V'safta d'ganecha is a bad thing. And then later years, he came around and he said, no, it's not true. V'safta d'ganecha is not as bad as I thought it was. What leads us to believe that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai changed his mind? So that was a famous story in Maseches Shabbos. Now we can take a look at it inside for a moment. In the third of the Ramakamos, so the famous end of the Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Lag Bo'Omer story. So the Gemara tells at the end of the story, after Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was in cave for so many years. So Isvu Treisa Shadim Marasa, that he was, him and his son, Rabbi Lazar, were in the cave for 12 years. Also, Eliyahu became a pischa de marasa. Eliyahu, the Navi, came to the mouth of the cave. Amar, so he said, man lo de l'bar Yochai, who's going to tell Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai to miscase that the Caesar has died? About the zirasei and the decree that they were looking for to kill Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So once the Caesar died, so then the decree became nullified. So who's going to tell Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai? So Nafkus, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai realized, he heard the Eliyahu Navi speaking, so they went out. So what was the first thing that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon saw? Chazu inshe dika karve vizari. He saw people were plowing and planting. So he got very upset. Amar, They're leaving eternal life of Torah. They could sit and learn all day and they work in the fields. It's every place they looked, so everything got burnt up. It means that their Koach HaKadosha was so profound that they couldn't tolerate what they were seeing. So that's the Baskel of Amalem. So a voice from heaven came out and said, "L'achiv alama yitzasem." Said, "You're coming to destroy my world." Chizul maraschem. So go back to the cave. So Hadras. Then later the Gemara says, and they came out a second time. And when they came out a second time, so the Gemara has an interesting end of the story. The Gemara says that when they came out a second time, so then they saw somebody running on Friday afternoon carrying two branches, two flowers. So they asked him, "What's that for?" So he said, "It's for Zohar, for Shomer, for Chavit Shabbos." So when Rabbi Shimon heard that, then it's okay. So what does that mean? So the Pashtus, what it sounds like is that even though the person who was collecting flowers, he was plucking, also had to work. He had to pay for flowers. He had to go to his field. He had to pluck the flowers off. So what gave him a right to do that? So Rav Shimon Yochai realized, well, he's doing it with Chavit Shabbos. He's doing it with Torah's mitzvah. So Rav Shimon Yochai was able to tolerate that. So the Samach Ron claim that Rav Shimon Yochai turned around the sheet. That means an original sheet that was only learning nothing, anything else is Dvar B'Telem, it's Chayei Shah, and you can't do it. And then afterwards he said, no, maybe Rabbi Shmuel was more correct. Rabbi Yosef Tegenech is not so terrible. It's not such a klala. Maybe it's a shtickle bracha also. So getting back to that story, so we're still trying to figure out what the pshat of Rabbi Shmuel Yochai is. Did Rabbi Shmuel Yochai, on the one hand, who was advocating 24/7 learning, and the other hand, he's the one who turns around and says, Vagisa Yom V'Layla is not so dafka. How do you understand that? So notwithstanding the two answers that we gave, one is that there's a different girsa, and the other is based on these achronim. So in the Rishonim itself, we find a different approach to this apparent contradiction. So we take a look at the fourth of the Marmakamos, actually the Taisa Rosh, in Masechus Brachas. There were different Taisim that were written. We have one set of Taisim in our Shas. Then there were different Rishonim and different Balei Taisim who wrote different compilations, different collections of words from the Balei Taisim. There wasn't one person called Taisim. There were hundreds and hundreds of people called the Balei Taisim. So the Rosh had a collection of his Taisim. So some of them were a little bit the same, a little bit different. So the Taisa Rosh in Masechus Brachas, he asked this kasha. Reb Shimon Oymi Afilu, so Efshu Adam Chavish V'cholei. So Lav Mishum the Sover Reb Shimon Shu Chayva. When Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that, how could it be that V'yasafta D'ganecha is a good thing? How could it be you're plowing, you're planting? When are you ever going to learn? So don't mistakenly think, like we've been thinking for the last 20 minutes, don't mistakenly think that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai meant b'taras chova, that every single person is mechuyav not to work. Because he's the very Tanu who says, tefilo kala kriyish b'shachas yarvis kibitz lo yomar sefetaz v'pichah. Tazer Rosh is alluding to our contradiction. How in the world could Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai say such a thing that you're mamash mechuyav to learn, you're not allowed to go to work, if Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai himself held that as long as you learn Shachos Yavish, you're basically okay? So what are those words? What is Tazer Rosh driving at? What do you mean, lav the sava chayva? If it's not a chayva, so why is he telling you to do it? What do the words mean, chayva? So the Pasha, the Tvarmas of the Tazer Rosh saying is as follows, that there are two different sugyas that are going on here. There's one sugya in terms of what's the chiyuv hamitzvah of Talmud Torah. Like we have a chiyuv, how much matzah you have to eat, how many times you have to eat a shofar, how long you have to sit in the sukkah. Each mitzvah is a shir b'dover, how to fulfill the chiyuv of that mitzvah. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai happens to be the biggest makil in terms of the chiyuv of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. If a person learned a little bit by Yom, a little bit by Laila, maybe even Kriyashma, Shachris Yarvis, you cannot say that the person was not Yotzi's Chiyuv. You can't scream at the guy, you're a Balaveira, you're a Mavatlas HaMitzvah. The same way a guy eats a Kazayis Matzah, he was Yotzi. A guy said a very short Sipiotis Mitzvah, he was Yotzi. But just because a person was Yotzi, the bare bone minimum of Mitzvah, doesn't mean he's doing what the Ritzon HaShemacham is. It doesn't mean that he's doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants of us in this world. There are the absolute bare bone mitzvahs, and then there's what the model of what a Jew is supposed to be. So the Moshe, go back to the Lel HaSeder. A person, technically speaking, says, Avadim Hayim Lefar B'Tzvavim, he's Yotzei V'Gat Tel Bilhul. That's it. He's Yotzei. But Kolababa Reza Meshubach, it's supposed to be Derech Shem L'Tshuva, it's supposed to be, supposed to elaborate to your children, it's supposed to be a tremendous Hagoshim, Chold Dor V'Dor Chayv. There's a lot more to the Seder than just singing Avadim Hayim Lefar B'Tzvavim and skipping through and running to eat the matzah. So you have a lot of mitzvahs like that, where you can technically be yotzei, an absolute bare-bone mitzvah, but that's not really what the tzur, what the Rebbe Shalom wants. The marshal, a person could hear the shofar, you know, On the other hand, the Rosh Hashanah wants of us to hear it. I'll say that brachas, the tkiyas is supposed to affect his tefillas, it's supposed to be the kavara. There are different ways of performing mitzvahs. There's the bare bone mitzvah, and then there's what the Ritzon Hashem Makom is. So that's what the Tazara seems to be saying. That the Sugi Maseches Benachos is talking about what is the chova of Talmud Torah. At what point do you say to a person, you were mevatel the mitzvah derais every day of Torah? If a whole day goes by, a whole night goes by, and the guy didn't open the sefer, doesn't say about Torah, that mamish gornish from gornish, a whole 12-hour period of no Torah cues, yeah? So he was talking mevatel. Well, yeah, mesefer said Torah is the mitzvah. He's talking mevatel Torah. That's what the Baruch Hashem wants of us. The Baruch Hashem wants of us that we should learn one Sivkat to the Mishnah Berurah in the morning, and then that's it. Never come back again. And then at night we should hear read one line in the Pasuk and Chumash, and that's it. We're done. That's the model Jew that the Baruch Hashem wants of us. So Rabbi Shimon Yochai said it can't be. It says Rabbi Shimon Yochai, it can't be that the model we should strive for is V'yasafta D'ganecha. You know why? Because says Rabbi Shimon Yochai, how are you ever going to become a real great Talmid Chacham? Adam Charish b'shas Charisha, Zareh b'shas Zariah, Kaitz b'shas Ksira. It can't be that that's the model of what the Rebbe Shalom wants. What's the model, says Rav Shimon Yochai? The model is Yom V'Layla. Literally, the model is sitting and learning Yom V'Layla. I, Parnasa. Rav Shimon Yochai says, you wonder what the model is? The model is Parnasa should come from somewhere else. That's the model. That's the ultimate. That's the ultimate dream, says Rav Shimon Yochai. Is it real? Is it going to happen that way? Maybe some people yeah, maybe some people no. So in terms of what the goal is, what we should strive for, says Rav Shimon Yochai, the striving should not be v'yasafta d'ganecha. That's not a great thing. It may be an unfortunate reality, says Rav Shimon Yochai. That's not the goal. The goal is sitting, I don't know, literally in the cave, but figuratively in the cave. The goal is sitting and learning as much as a person can forever and ever and ever. That's the goal. How that tempers with reality, we'll have to figure out as life goes on. So says the Taizah Rush, it's not a stira between the two Rebbe Shimons. And the Sugi Menachos is telling you, at what point did you fulfill your chiyuv in this world in terms of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? A little by yom and a little bit by laila. But that doesn't translate to mean, okay, that's what our goal should be. That doesn't translate to mean, that's what we should try to accomplish in this world. I remember when I think I was in sixth grade. I don't know where I had picked this up somewhere along the way. I heard somebody, something say, that a filu kar kriyish mashachas v'yarvis, you know, you're yaitzeh the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So I remember I said to my father, Shalom, I said, you know, I'm done with school. I was sixth grade, I was ready. I was ready to throw in the towel. I'll never forget, I said, I don't want to go to school anymore. So there's no reason for me to go to school. So my father was, those who knew my father, I already knew my father. Those knew my father, so he was Steve, you know, my father. He was a very, very calm, very, you know, thought out. So he said to me, well, you know, let's discuss this. He said, you know, after all, there's a mitzvah of learning Torah. How are you going to fulfill the mitzvah of learning Torah if you don't go to school anymore? So I remember responding, no, it's not a problem. I'm going to say Shema every morning, say Shema every night. Where I picked it up in the age of 11, I'm not sure. That's what I said. So I remember the time my father was trying to explain to me this Shtikl Torah. I mean, I don't know if I understood it exactly at that age, but he was trying to explain to me that that's not exactly what Chazal meant. That, you know, every person is going to say Shema morning and night, and they're going to call it a day. So that's what Taizah Rosh is saying also. That in terms of the bare bone minimum of Talmud Torah, yeah, you call it a day. But in terms of that's what the Rosh wants of us, the ultimate goal of a Jew is to be a Kriyishma Jew. That's not what the Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh Hashanah didn't put us on this planet that should be our extent of our Talmud Torah. We come to the Yom HaDin, and he asked us, you know, Kavat Yitim L'Torah, and all we can answer is, we are Yitzi Kriyishma Shachas V'Yarvis. So Mashal, okay, you weren't Mevatla Mitzvah, but you know, that wasn't exactly what the end goal was. So a couple of them, we have different versions as to what Rav Shimon Yochai meant. Did Rav Shimon Yochai mean literally what he said, but then he changed what he said? Or did Rav Shimon Yochai, we misunderstood what he said in the first place. He wasn't talking about Mataras Chova. At the end of the day, how do we pass in l'halacha? Do we follow the view of Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Shmuel says, V'yasafta d'ganecha is in a sense a good thing. Or do we say that, like Rabbi Shimon Yochai, who looks almost in a not such a positive light, on V'yasafta d'ganecha? So how do we follow l'halacha? So if you go back to the first of the Mamon Kamos, so the very, very first in Kedushin, the Flamen Amebeis, so the Gemara quoted a braisa that says, L'amda umnes. That a father is obligated to teach his son an umnas. He's obligated to teach his son a trade. So here we have a Stam Gemara, a whole Sugi Maseches Kedushin that lists this together with teaching Torah and giving a bris milah, picking a band, marrying off your kids, teach them how to swim, the whole works. And it says the lamda umnas. The Braisa doesn't say, well, Alamdus, we're so sorry that we have to be Malam and Mumnus, it's a terrible thing, we really wish we wouldn't have to. It almost sounds like this is the normal protocol, this is the normal procedure. A father has an obligation. It's not just, you know, begrudgingly doing it. He's Mechuyev to teach him Mumnus, what's up, possibly to this. So this Gemara almost sounds like it's more in line with Rabbi Shmuel's line of thinking. According to Rabbi Shmuel Bayachoy, I wouldn't say a father's mechuyev to teach him on this. I would say, Nebuch, what are you going to do if the kid is starving? All right, Nebuch, he's got to go to work. So it sounds with this Gemara that Alamda Umdus is almost not such a terrible thing, which seems to be presented by the very end of Masechet Kedushin also, where the Gemara also at the very end of Kedushin quotes the same idea. La'olam yilamed adam b'no umnus kalav nekiyah. Here the Tanoim recommend what type of an umnus you should teach a child. You should try to teach a child an umnus that's a kala unakiyah. So kala unakiyah in the sense of it's something that's not going to take up so much time, so he'll still be able to learn as much as he can. It should be an akiyah. It should be a clean umnus. It should be an honest umnus. You can teach someone a profession that will take a very short amount of work, yeah, because he's doing things that are dishonest. So obviously, the goal is that he should have an umnus kala unakiyah. But the Tanoim, both in the beginning of the Masechta and the end of the Masechta, seem to speak in favorable light in terms of limud umnus. It sounds like it's supporting the view of Rabbi Shmuel. Nevertheless, the Mishnah in the fifth of the Ma'amakomos quotes something which seems to be more in sync with Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yochai. So in the fifth of the Ma'amakomos, so the Gemara in Kedushin Pei Beis and Aleph, the Mishnah says Rabbi Naroi Omer Beniach and he called umnus sheba olam. Ve'eni melamed is bnei el Torah. I would leave aside all the professions in the world, and I would only teach my child Torah. One of the singers put this to music, Rabbi Noray Omer. I think 99% of people who sing this song with such Yislavos have no idea in the world what they're singing. So that as they're in the college classes, as they go to work, they're going to sing, that doesn't make any sense. So Rabbi Noray Omer, menechli kolom l'shabay, ve'eni melamed is bnei el Torah. And then Rabbi Noray goes on to explain what the tremendous milas of his approach are. So here, Rabbi Dechareda point out that Rabbi Naroi seems to be more of a throwback to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So how do you resolve this? How do you understand what's going on? Said on the one hand, the Tanoim are quoting the idea of Lalam de Umnus is almost a positive thing, which is Rabbi Shmuel speaking. And then Rabbi Naroi sticks to, is this also a machloikis? Is that what the Tanoim are presenting? It's again the same machloikis. So the Pnei Yeshua, if I'm not mistaken, points out at this Gemara that if you look very carefully at the Lashon of Rabbi Nahoroi, so you'll notice something very interesting. Rabbi Nahoroi is talking as a person. He's talking as a father. He doesn't give a direction for everybody. He's not speaking to the tzibur. He's telling you about what he personally did. Maniach ani kol umna sheba olam de'eni melamed es bini el Torah. I would leave all other professions aside. My son, he should be at Talmud Chacham par excellence. Nothing else. My son should sit and learn Yom V'Laila. The statement of Rabbi Naroi is coming immediately on the heels of what the first time I said, La'olam yilamid adam es b'no umnis kala nekiyah. What's the difference between li'olam yilamid adam es b'no to Rabbi Naroi, enim alamid es b'ni? The answer is obvious, says the Bnei Yeshua. B'no is talking to the third person. B'no is, I'm giving a direction, I'm giving suggestions, psalm, whatever you want to call it, for what an average person should do. A person comes to me and he asks me, Rabbi, should I teach my son an umnus? So the answer is, la'olam yilamid adam es b'no umnus. So I have to answer almost Rabbi Shmuel's words. I have to answer. A guy comes and he wants to know, should I teach an umnus? The answer is yes. The olam yilamid adam es b'no umnus. Rabbi Naroi is not asking a shaila. Rabbi Naroi is a personal issue. Rabbi Naroi is an individual and saying, I happen to know my son. I'm telling you, says Rabbi Naroi, my son is cut out. He's going to be a kulo Torah. Where's he going to eat? Like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, it'll come, it'll figure out. A cave, it'll come. Wherever it'll come, it'll come. So if that's the pshat, then almost the answer to our question is, well, do we follow Rabbi Shmuel? Do we follow Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? The answer now becomes a little bit strange. It's almost a personalized, tailor-made psak. It may depend on the person. This may be a little bit different than a question of Chashabi. If someone comes and asks me a shayla, is it mutter to put the food on the blech? So, you know, I don't analyze the person, you know, well, what's your personality? What are your traits? You know, how bright are you? Rabbi, either it's mutter or asar. And over here, there are other factors that go into this equation. For Bno, for other people, maybe the Pesach is like this. For Bni, maybe the Pesach is a little bit different. So that which the Bnei Yeshua says in this Mishnah about Rabbi Naroi at the other Tanoim, so the Bialoch in the Mishnah Bura says pretty much the same thing as well. If you take a look at the sixth of the Ma'amakomos, to the Bir Halacha in Siman Kuf Nun Vav Sif Aleph. He's going on the line in Shulchan Aruch where the Shulchan Aruch quotes Rabbi Shmuel Halacha. In codifying the Halacha, so Rabbi Shmuel quotes the phrase, Yafet Tamat Torah Im Derech Eretz. It's not just a motto in certain institutions, but Yafet Tamat Torah Im Derech Eretz is a statement in Shulchan Aruch. It's right out of Rabbi Shmuel's textbook. And the Shulchan Aruch speaks in the positive sense of Limit Umnus. He speaks in the positive sense of Derech Eretz, and he quotes the Mishnah Pirkei Avos that says, "Kol Torah she'ein bo melacha sofa b'tel v'gurur savon." That if a person is only Torah and doesn't have a parnasa, so he's setting himself up for trouble. Means he's going to end up at the end of the day. He's not going to have a parnasa. I mean, doesn't that, if some great nace doesn't happen, so then he's going to end up starving. He's going to end up starving. He's going to end up stealing. So sofa b'tel v'gurur savon. So he's going to end up losing his Torah. He's going to end up violating Gezeil also. So Shulchan Aruch is fairly straightforward that he's following the view of Rabbi Shmuel halacha. So comes to be halacha and he qualifies that psach of the Shulchan Aruch. He says, "Kasva svarim dechrenim avrin shezel nem lechlala oylam." He says, "These words of the Shulchan Aruch are written for the Hamon Am. The Shulchan Aruch is writing a sefer for everybody. Shulchan Aruch is not for yechidei skula. The Shulchan Aruch is written for the masses. She'ein kulam yicholim liskos lalas lemadrega ramazu lios oskam rach b'tor levada." Says the Shulchan Aruch, it is impossible for every person in Klal Yisrael today, in most of Mashiach, Halavai will reach that point, but in today's world, it is impossible for everybody to follow the words of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. In effect, for everybody to be just learning and nobody to be working, it's just not going to work. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Aval anoshim yechidim. However, for the yechidim, yuchol imatzi b'chalei ispiyofen zeh. He says there's always that possibility for a yachid to be able to figure out how to do this properly. And for him, so this statement of Shulchan Aruch is not relevant. For him, he's more of a Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, a Jew. He's more of a Rabbi Noroi, any melamedes b'nei el Torah approach. And says the Bir Halacha, and he thinks that's ultimately what the Gemara means in Maseches Brachos, when the Gemara concludes, if we could take a look back at the Gemara in Brachos for a minute, the second of the Ramah Kamos. After the Gemara quotes the whole Machlokes of Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Shmuel about V'asavta D'ganecha, so in the first one line is Acherim, it's about six lines down. In the middle of that line, Amar Abaye. So Abaye now makes an observation about this Machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Amar Abaye. Harbe also Rabbi Shmuel, but also be Yadon. Many people followed Rabbi Shmuel and they succeeded. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai will also be Yadon. Many people followed Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and they didn't succeed. Will also be Yadon. What is the meaning of the statement of Abaye? So it almost sounds like he's speaking Machria. It sounds like he's concluding that the correct approach is like Rabbi Shmuel. He's telling you that Rabbi Shmuel had a good success rate. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai didn't have such a good success rate. But it's a very strange way of formulating that. So why doesn't Abaye say something like, well, halachic Rabbi Shmuel? Why doesn't he say, yesh linok Rabbi Shmuel? Why does he present it? Such a strange observation that many people followed Rabbi Shmuel and they were okay. Many people followed Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and didn't succeed. So the Bialacha, going back now to the sixth of the Ramah Kamos, in the brackets, in the second end of the second line, the brackets, Vizel Shomer Bibrachas of Lamabama Beis, that's what the Gemara means, it's Lamabama Beis. Harbe also Krebishum by Yochai, Velo also be Yadon, but Saloma Dafka Harbe. Says Abai was very Medaic in his Lashon, he was very careful in his words, and he said that many people try to follow Rishon Bar Yochai and didn't succeed. Why? Because they were many, they were too many. Means the Gemara is trying to allude to the fact that if you have en masse, everybody decides to be Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai people. So it's not going to work. Just practically, no one's going to be able to support the yeshivas. No one's going to be able to support. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. It's not going to fly. But if you have many people following Rabbi Shmuel's model of going to work, and a few yechidei school are following Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's model, that's great. It's good for them. It's good for Klal Yisrael. So that's the diuk and the lashon of harbe asu v'lo also be adam. The implication is that ma'at asu, kama asu, v'also be adam. So what the Bir Halacha here is saying in his parish in the Shulchan Aruch Halacha is exactly what the Pnei Yeshua said in his parish of the Rabbi Roy story. That means there's a difference in terms of this machlokes Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Shmuel. Ultimately, it boils down to it's an individual, it's a case by case decision. That there's not a clear-cut psak in this area. For a person who really, really has certain keichas, certain kalim, and really has that ability to be a Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai person, so that's a wonderful thing. For people who don't have that ability to be a Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai people, they should opt for the Rabbi Shmuel option, because the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai option is going to be lo also be yodun. So yesh v'yesh, that seems to be the maskanas ha-sugya in terms of this. So I'll share with you an interesting, since Rabbi Noroi was sharing personal stories about his son, I'll tell you personal story about myself. So I don't keep it on. I will keep the tapes on. It's not a controversial story. Just interesting story. So as I mentioned before, when I was in sixth grade, so I wanted to bail out of school. When I was in 11th grade, so I wanted to bail out, not of all school, just out of English. It means I was already interested in just sitting and learning. I had wasn't interested in doing anything else. So I remember at the time it was, some of my friends were already starting to think towards college and early admissions in those days. So, it was a very challenging time in terms of deciding what mahalach, what derech I'm going to go in terms of life. So needless to say, my parents were a little bit more on the Rabbi Shmuel track than on the Rabbi Shmuel Bechai track at that time. We'll leave it at that. They were tremendously supportive all the years, but you know where they came from, so they were definitely more of more in line with the Rabbi Shmuel approach. So they were having, you know, it was an interesting time at that time, to say the least. So I was, the high school that I went to in Riverdale at the time was Rabbi Riskin's high school. He was the head of the, for those who remember, Manhattan High School, Masifta Torah, I don't know if anyone remembers back from 35 years ago. So I spent the Shabbos in Manhattan in Rabbi Riskin's house at the time, and Rabbi Lau was there. The senior Rabbi Lau was there the same Shabbos, but it was way before he was not the Rav HaRoshi yet. He was not even the Rav HaRoshi of Tel Aviv yet. This goes back 35 years ago. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was the Rav HaRoshi of Netanya at the time. So Rabbi Lau. So Rabbi Riskin said to me, maybe I should ask Eitzah from another world, maybe I should speak to him a little bit, ask him what he thinks, you know. I don't want to go to college, I want to sit and learn, my parents want me to go, speak to him, ask him, I said, Eitzah, what to do. So I remember, okay, I didn't know him, he didn't know me, so I sat down with him, and I tried to explain to him, you know, Fumfkin, my Hebrew, tried to explain to him what my dilemma was, what should I do? So I'll never forget this, again, it goes back 35 years ago, he looks me straight in the face, I was in Rabbi Lau, he's a very, very piercing, he says to me, oh, the mother sugya. We'll learn the sugya together. So he tells me over Rabbi Naroi Omer, Eini Melamed is Mini Ela Torah. And he says, but the Mishnah says, La'olam Yilamed Adam is Beno, Umnus Kalvin Akiya. So how do you resolve that contradiction? So he said, the answer is obvious. He's quoting this great law. He quotes this Pnei, he quotes this whole Shtikl Torah that I'm telling you now. He said, obviously Rabbi Naroi was speaking to his son, Eini Melamed is Bini Ela Torah. So he looks at me, I'll say it first in Hebrew, I'll translate. He says to me, "Ani lo makirotcha." He said, "I don't know who you are." He says straight face, "I don't know." "Ani lo yodea imatah bein shel Rabbi Naroi olo." I don't know whether you're Rabbi Naroi's son. I never met you before. He said, "Tatzurich lachlit." He said, "You decide. Imatah hashem shel bein shel Rabbi Naroi. If you think you're Rabbi Naroi's son, you should sit and learn your Yom. Don't do anything else." Imatah lo yodea. That's tomar umniskam. If you don't know, you should go get a professional. So that's what he said to me. So that was, I don't know, I'm still trying to figure out which path I went down. But whatever it is, that was the hachra that he gave, which is mamish just right out of this prenshu, right out of this bihalacha. So Akalpanim, we left it hanging a little bit in terms of a quote unquote not an outright psak, but more a little bit more of an individual. But there is a last nekuda that's a halachic issue and a very real practical realistic issue. For those individuals who go down the Rabbi Shmuel Bechai route, those who justifiably go down the Rabbi Naroi's son's route, but tachlis, how are we supposed to eat? How is the food supposed to come onto the table? This is not just a theoretical question, but it is a halachic question. Namely, is it now a good thing for them to say, okay, well, I'm learning now, so in effect, someone's got to support me. So who is that somebody supposed to be? Is that somebody supposed to be Yisachar Zvulun relationship? Is that somebody supposed to be the community? So that's the corollary of the sugya. Assuming that you have individuals out there who are going down the route of Rabbi Shmuel Bechai and Rabbi Naroi, so now what is the correct path in terms of even Rabbi Shmuel Bechai had to eat something? So okay, so he was like that, he was in a cave, or Navi, they provided him food in the cave. But for most of us don't have Gil Eliyahu these days, so who are going to be the Eliyahu Navis? Who halachically are supposed to be those supporters of Torah? So hopefully we'll talk about that a little bit more on Friday in terms of the Sarambam, and others who disagree in terms of what the approach is supposed to be, how much the community is or is not supposed to be in supporting those individuals who are the Rabbi Naroi and the Rabbi Shmuel Bechai. So let's share my Friday, we'll continue with this.